This audio is a continuation of a story that I told last year called Against My Will, which you may want to listen to first before you hear this continuation. It's been over a year since I saw him. And I'm texting when I feel, rather than see, someone standing in front of the counter of my store. He says nothing. He just hands me an envelope and walks out the door. I'm shocked, but maybe not surprised to see him again. Inside the envelope is a skeleton key and instructions. I'm supposed to close early, go to his hotel, pick up a bag at the front desk, and I'm not allowed to wear a bra. I'm too scared not to obey. He says that I should get there at 5:30. It's just 4:30 now. So to get there in time, I have to close right away. So I text my husband that I can't meet him at the commuter train from the city like I usually do. And then I walk through the store and shut off the lights and tell the people who are there that I have to close early. When I get to the hotel, just in time, there's a pretty petite blonde girl at the desk with one of those high-pitched baby voices that annoy me. I show her the key and say my friend has asked me to pick up a bag. She suddenly becomes very disdainful towards me. And I understand her attitude when she gives me the bag because there's a riding crop sticking out of it. She knows what's going to happen upstairs. I'm going to be fucked, and the crop will be used on my body. I'm about to walk to the elevator when she stops me and tells me I'm supposed to wait until he calls down to tell her that he's ready for me. So I stand next to her. I wait about 5 minutes. I see her whispering about me to one of the other girls, about the riding crop and about how I'm not wearing a bra. When I hear her say, "He's ready for you." And so I head over to the elevators. He successfully embarrassed and humiliated me. Made me be perceived as some sort of a prostitute. In the privacy of the elevator, I can finally open the bag and see what's there besides the crop. And I feel a warm rush of my wetness increase. Not begin, begun the moment I saw his cold eyes. Because besides the riding crop in the bag, there's also a pair of handcuffs and a dildo. So I go up to the penthouse. Of course, he's in the penthouse. I use the key, open the door, and the first thing I see are these floor-to-ceiling windows. The city lights are just spread out before me, so the city seems to glow, almost float. I don't know what to do. I see him sitting in an armchair at the side of this huge window, drinking, bare-chested, just wearing trousers. He tells me to help myself to drink because I should drink what he's drinking. And then he tells me to strip, except for my stockings and heels. And I'm to go and stand in front of the window, press my hands on the glass over my head. So I do that. And again, I feel his eyes on me, observing my fear. No, really, my anticipation of his next command. I hear him get up and look in the bag, reassuring himself what's there. And then he says, I told you I'd be back, and I know you wanted me to come back. He laughs. That laugh I remember from my dreams and my nightmares as I slept beside my loving, dedicated husband, who I never told about the incident at the store last year. Then, even though I hear the slap of the crop on his hand, I'm still shocked when he strikes my ass with the crop, immediately and forcefully establishing his dominance. He says, you know you want this. I knew you'd deliver yourself to me for more. And then he strikes me more. I lose count of how many times. But then he shocks me by changing gears and becoming gentle, whispering in my ear, kissing me gently on the cheek. I feel his hand stroke down the side of my body, moving towards my pussy, and feeling my wetness. He wipes it on my lips, the ultimate humiliation, wearing the evidence of my arousal on my face. Then he shocks me again by slapping my face, both cheeks hard, saying, you're still just a whore, aren't you? Before pressing my face against the glass, smudging it with my wetness. I try not to breathe, not to allow any condensation to appear and call attention to myself standing nude in front of the entire city, backlit by the room, obvious to anyone who looks up. I hear him walk back to his chair, sit, and the ice clink in his glass as he drinks. And he says, take the dildo, fuck yourself. Entertain me. If you do a good job, you'll be glad. If you don't, I'll be glad. So I do. He says, thrust harder, go deeper. So I do. I see the office buildings across the street. Buildings where my neighbors may be working, people who know my husband, who ride the commuter train with him every day, people who could reveal my betrayal to him. He says, well, that's a pretty good show. Now go over to the bed and present yourself the way you want me to fuck you. I reach into the bag, pull out the handcuffs, fasten them around my wrists. Because being restrained like that, unable to escape, will make the degradation of being fucked again by my rapist a little easier. I go over to the bed and lay on my back, my handcuffed hands over my head. My head turned away from the window. I can feel my tears running down my face as I hear him walk towards me and lower his zipper and say, "Oh, so that's how you want it, vanilla style, just like your husband does you." I feel his big, hard cock press insistently at the entrance to my pussy, and then it slams into me, full force, balls deep. He fucks me furiously. First my pussy, then my ass, finally my face. He grabs my long hair, using it to control the movement of my head on his cock, fucking my face harshly. He talks the entire time he's inside of me about my life with my husband. I'm going to have to decide to tell him the truth about why I'm so late getting home, or if I'm going to lie again. Somehow he knows I never told my husband about what happened last year. After he's done, completely done with me, I feel his weight leave the bed, and I hear him put his trousers back on and say, "Oh, you can leave now, but you'll be back, because I'm coming back. I'll expect you here the same day, the second Saturday, and the same time every month. I'm not going to bother to come to you again and give you a key. Just present yourself at the front desk and let the girl know when you can come up." I start to protest that it can't happen again when I see him move over to the closet and reveal a camera which has been, no doubt, recording our entire encounter. He says, "You'll come, or your husband will receive a copy of this recording, and you'll have to explain to him why you had 3 orgasms with me." He returns to his chair and his drink. Dismissed, I get up and leave, shaking with the fear of the blackmail he plans for me, unless I comply and become his sex toy to use and dispose of at his will. I'm scared. I can wonder how I can hide all this from my husband, but I know I have to, because there's no reasonable, acceptable explanation of why my rapist can make me orgasm and my husband can't. So I leave the hotel, prepare to go back home and lie to my husband again.